Father, I thank you for your blessings, your greatness, your power. I thank you for everything that you've done for us. I thank you for who you are, your steadfastness, your order, all of the things that you do to cause us to be able to trust in you and know that you don't change, to be able to know that you are true. I ask you by your might and power that you would help us to be so about what you're doing that we would be steadfast, that we would be true, that we would be the kinds of people that when individuals look, they could see that we are not only serious about your word, but that they could grow by being around us. Father, I ask you to guide our words, our thoughts, and our deeds. Let our mindset be on you. Let the things that we do be on you. Let our allegiance be to you, not to this ungodly and wretched world. I just ask you, Lord, to help us to realize what time it is for us right now in this present age. Father, I ask you to look upon all of our sicknesses, all of the ailments that we have, and I ask you to help us to grow. Strengthen us with might within the inner man and cause us to be victorious in your kingdom. I pray these things in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Amen, and even so, amen. Tonight, as we go into the book of the Revelation, we're going right back to where we were, and we're going to make our, I would say, our excursion into chapter 13. The chapter, no doubt, people been wanting to get to maybe from day one. One of the things that I want to say about this chapter 13 is that we're just going to scratch the surface in it. We're not even going to get all the meat. What we're going to do is we're going to go in it and see what it's talking about. Let's imagine that we're going up in a plane and we're looking down on the city of Gainesville, Atlanta. And if you've been in a plane, you can see how the ground is kind of etched out with roads and different things that are growing, and you get an overall view. Then we, if the Lord's will, we'll go in and look at some of the houses, the trees, the insects, and the people. So tonight, as we move into Revelation chapter 13, coming from the end of chapter 12, we want to talk about there is a battle with the saints of God. Jesus is revealing that there is a battle with the saints of God. Now let's take time and let's see what the Bible has already told us. We've already talked about the woman, the sun, the moon, and the stars, what they represent. We've already talked about Satan. We've already talked about the angels fighting, and we've talked about Satan being cast out. We've already talked about Jesus said if he with the finger of God, if he cast out demons in the kingdom of God has come unto you, and the only way that he could do that is if he had plundered Satan. We also saw that the scripture was showing at this particular time, these first century Christians, no matter what they were going through, John being on the Isle of Patmos and what he was going through, he was able to hear the voice that said, a loud voice that says that there was salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. It said that the accuser of the brother is cast down. And that verb is something that had already taken place. And it was already something for them to know at that time. It had already taken place. And then the Bible says there were some that overcame him. Him who? The demon, the devil. And when we look at that particular, that verb, and that verb was already what we call the past tense, and it was active. They had already overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And then we moved on, and we saw that God used the same type of speech that he used when he brought him out of Egypt, when he said he brought him out on eagle's wings. He mentioned it in Exodus. He mentioned it also in Deuteronomy, how he brought him up on eagle's wings. If we think about the book of Isaiah talk about those that wait on the Lord, they will mount up with eagle's wings. You don't mount up in your own strength. You mount up in the strength of God. And we see that. But then we saw, as we move into 13, Jesus revealing that the devil, the wicked one, he's coming after the children of God. He wants to destroy. There is a war that is taking place. And by that war taking place, that is very, very much important for us to see. That for those people in the first century, as well as for us, we're in that. Listen to what it says. Verse number 15 says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might be that might cause her to be carried away of the flood. One of the things that people never take into consideration, or that they should take into consideration, that the flood is used in terms of an onslaught of war, an onslaught of locusts, an onslaught of plagues, an onslaught of different armies coming against people. And it is taken from the very theme of what God did when he brought the flood on the world of the ungodly. Genesis chapter 7, you get to see chapter 7 and 8 where that takes place. So now you're having the serpent trying to bring his flood against this woman. But then you see something else that happens. It said the earth helped the woman and opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now, we've talked before, if you want to see this literally, then you're going to have to see an animal that must be big enough that what that animal can do is bring a flood out and shoot that flood out. That's enough that it would drown this woman in the earth as it opened its mouth and swallow the water. But the water doesn't, but the woman don't get swallowed. Biblical imagery is based upon what the Bible has already said in most cases. So now when we talk about it opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of its mouth, then we see in verse 17, because some of this we've covered, and I'm moving us into chapter 13 so that we can see, that this war is taking place. That Jesus is actually showing that this is a war, that the devil is trying to destroy the saints of God. And what Jesus is revealing to these people is that you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. I've been there first. I am truly the last one. If you want to look at it, I'm the last and I'm the first fruits of them that slept. I raised up from the dead and I was caught in the heaven. You're going to be in me and I'm going to be in you. It is the end. You'll be caught up in the heaven just like I was. Your citizenship is already there. Representatively, you're already there with me. But what you need to feel and understand on this earth right now is that everything that I'm telling you is from the vantage point of heaven. Revelation chapter 4, 5, 6, etc. And so what we see is that the earth swallowed up, opened up and swallowed the flood, just like the flood of the rebellion of the ungodly of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Say it slowly. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram in the 16th chapter of Numbers. They were about to cause God to destroy the camp. When you understand what they were doing, they could have had Israel destroyed. But the earth opened up her mouth and protected the people against those wicked men and their ungodliness. Now, if you don't like the way that I explain that, if you don't grasp what I'm saying or you want to grasp it, understand in Numbers chapter 23, 24, if you want to read a little further, you can. When you see what Balaam and Balak do to try to destroy Israel, try to destroy the woman that would bring forth the seed as a nation, what he did was he taught them how to seduce. This is what he taught them. Balaam taught Balak to seduce the children of Israel with those Midianite women, because he knew that if they turned their backs on the living God, they would be in the position of being accused by God, and God would execute his judgment on them. And that's what happened. If you don't understand that, then you don't understand how when the earth opened its mouth to destroy them in their rebellion, that is still going back and showing how God operates. God operates in such a way that you would begin to understand that the most beautiful thing about the scripture when you're trying to learn scripture is this: God is consistent, and so should we be. God is so consistent that if you look in the scriptures and see what he's done before, it gives you a precursor. It gives you an understanding what to learn yourself in the scripture. Now, what does it say? It says in 17, Agan was wroth with the woman. With all the stuff the dragon had already done, you would think that it wouldn't make that much more sense. Or it wouldn't matter that much for the dragon to be wroth with the woman. But what I would submit to you is that by the dragon being upset with the woman, it shows something in particular that the dragon is going to do. It says, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. There's only one group that you'll find that the dragon goes to make war with. It's those that keep the commandment of God. It would not be for everybody else in particular. What it boils down to is that the individual that love God, an individual that care about the things of God, that is the one he's going to fight. Listen to it. And the dragon wroth, very angry with the woman. I would say this is definitely going to be, in one case, Israel. In another case, we would call it the church, because the church is the bride of Christ. And the remnant of her seed would be those that are in the body of Christ. But sometimes individuals don't know that the Bible uses more than one way of explaining, of saying things. Why do people not understand that? Because sometimes they don't see that we are called sheep. Sometimes we are called sons. Sometimes we are called the bride. Sometimes we are called branches. The Bible has the ability to use more than one way to explain what it wants us to see. Why? I really believe that what's going on in cases like this is that the Bible is showing that there's a multifaceted relationship that we have with him. I believe that. But listen, the dragon makes war with the remnant. These are the ones that are truly following God. These are the ones that love God. How do you get this, that they love God? Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. 1 John teaches us that if you love God, you keep his commandments. The kingdom of God, according to James 1 and 12, James 2 and 5 is for those that keep his commandments. How do we know keep his commandments? For those that love him. Listen to this, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So you can read this, and this is a standalone verse. But take 13 and 1. What do you see in 13 and 1? And, see the first word, and. That word is kai, so it is and. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. In your mindset, I'd like you to remember that word, blasphemy. Very important word for you just to take into consideration. It had the name blasphemy. So whatever is we're going to be talking about, whatever is going on with this thing coming up out of the sea, the thing that we must understand, there is something that's evil and wicked about it, and it's called blasphemy. Let's listen to some more. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Notice the horror. Imagine if you saw, as some people say, literally, a beast coming at you that looked like a leopard, but had huge feet like a bear, and a big old mouth that could swallow your head and crunch it like a lion, and this mighty dragon that can push out a flood, giving him power and great authority. But remember that this beast is coming up out of the sea. Remember, this beast has 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his crown of his head, the name blasphemy. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as if it was wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. whose name was not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. I think I just need to stop reading right there and bring us into what's going on here. Let's take a view of this from the sky and show how Jesus is showing that the devil, that Satan, is trying to destroy those that follow him. I need you to see this. It's very important that you see not only that he wants to destroy, but it's because of the fact they keep his commandments. When we were in chapter 12, verse 11, the powerful scripture says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies, and loved not their life unto the death. But we see that the dragon was not through. How are we to look at this particular passage before we dig in deep? One, I need you to understand, if you've never read the book of Daniel, Daniel saw a dream like King Nebuchadnezzar saw. In brief, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream where he saw the kingdoms of the world. And the kingdoms of the world were designed as a great statue. It had four kingdoms that were shown. And Nebuchadnezzar, the reason he had the dream, the Lord wanted him to have it, one. But number two, he wanted to know what would be after him. And so when Nebuchadnezzar could not get people to tell him what the dream was, God allowed Daniel to tell him what the dream was. And there was a dream, and the dream had the statue had a gold head, silver chest plate, bronze in the middle, legs of iron, feet of clay and iron. Daniel explains the dream to him, and this is important for us to understand what's going on with the beast. Other than that, I wouldn't even tell it to you, but if we're going to get an overall view, we need it to be where we can see what's really going on here before we go deep. So Daniel says in Daniel chapter 2, yes, Daniel is speaking in the book of Daniel chapter 2, verse 37. He's going to tell him the interpretation of the dream. Thou, O king, art king of kings, for the God of heaven have given thee kingdom, power, strength, and glory. This is the same thing that the beast is going to be given by the dragon. 38. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, hath he given into thine hand, and made thee ruler over them. Thou art this head of gold. After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and after that a third kingdom of brass, we shall bear rule over the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdue all things, as the iron breaketh these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Four kingdoms, gold, silver, bronze, and iron, represented four kingdoms. If you think I'm going too fast, I've covered this before, but now it needs to be brought into where we are right here. 41, and whereas thou saw the feet and the toes, part of clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of iron. For as much as thou saw the iron mixed with miry clay, listen, as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. It's still talking about a kingdom. It's still talking about a kingdom where men rule. Listen to 43, because 44, we'll be getting ready to squeeze some juice. And whereas thou saw the iron mixed with clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of those kings, these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. In the days of these kings shall God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these nations, and it shall stand forever. Now, when you listen to the word of God, when was the kingdom of God set up? When did the Bible say the kingdom of God is at hand? When did the Bible say, 17th chapter in the 21st verse in the book of Luke, the kingdom of God is within you? When was the kingdom taken from someone else and given to those that will bring the fruit thereof? When was the kingdom of God set up? Now, I will submit to you, the kingdom of God was set up when he sent his king. When did the kingdom have all this power? The Bible says that Jesus said when he rose from the dead, all power is in my hand. Philippians chapter 2 said, at his name he bows, every tongue can. What does Psalm 2 say? He's going to rule with a rod of iron and break into pieces. What did Jesus promise the people in the second church, Thyatira? In Thyatira, we see that he said, those that overcome will rule with me as I rule, and they will have rods of iron. Listen to that and think about what we've seen in the Bible about the kingdom of God and all of this praise that we've seen when the 420 elders throw down their crowns and the four beasts throw down their crowns. And when the kingdom of God is ruling, we saw that in chapter 12. I might go back and read it, but right now I just want you to see Daniel's dream says in verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Is there a person listening to me tonight that think the kingdom of God has been destroyed? What did it say in Revelation 12 and 10? It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength. What did Hebrews 2 say? If the word spoken first by the Lord, that salvation that was spoken of first by the Lord and was confirmed by them that heard him, how shall you escape? How? Says in a loud voice from heaven saying, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them how long? Day and night. What does it say in verse 12? Rejoice, O heaven, and ye that dwell therein, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth. I will submit to you that the kingdom had already been set up, and this is why the dragon is going to make war with the remnant of her seed. I will submit to you that the remnant of the seed is the one that the devil is wanting to destroy. I will submit to you that the devil had already been cast out. I will submit to you that the devil had already lost his abilities to have the dominion over mankind because it had been taken by the Christ. All this goes back to Daniel, and Jesus has already revealed what would be. Don't blame the devil for your trouble. Blame God for allowing it to be this way to show that the Christ is those people that will love to the end and will not love their lives unto the death. Why is that? Because his children are overcomers. And whether we like it or not, if there's nothing for us to ever overcome, we won't be an overcomer. 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and a kingdom that shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it will stand forever. Please listen. When you understand the Bible, you realize that it's the remnant of the woman's seed that was going to take over the rest of the world for the Lord Jesus. They work with him. They are his body. He wants to stop that from happening. Verse 45, listen to this. For as much as I saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it break into pieces the iron, that's a nation. The brass, that was a nation. The clay and silver, a nation. And the gold, that was a nation. the great God have made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof. But what we have to understand is, according to the Bible, when Nebuchadnezzar saw that dream and he saw all of that stuff on there, the silver, the gold, and all of that, there was one thing that scared him. What was that? Listen to it. Daniel 2, 34 and 35. Thou sawest till a stone that was cut without hands, which smote the image on his feet, which were of iron and clay, and break them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, and the silver and gold broken into pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the winds carried them away, that no place was. And the stone that smote the image, became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Jesus is revealing that the dragon truly is at war and angry with the seed, keeps his commandment, but they will overcome. If you really miss what's going on here, it just talks about a stone breaking, tearing down. But notice how long it takes the kingdom to grow. 35, listen one more time carefully. Then was the iron and clay, the brass, silver, and gold broken together and became like the chaff. These are the nations that are no longer in existence. These are the nations that have been destroyed. And it says, and the wind carried them away. No place was found for them. And the stone, now think about this, just the stone that smote the image became, that word is haya. It became a great mountain. It took time. It took time. It wasn't that it came as a mountain. It became a mountain and filled the whole earth. That's verse 35. Here's the thing that's going on here. In Daniel 2 and 35, we see that the remnant of the seed, we see that the dragon is fighting. The dragon is at war, but something that is given to the people of God, that they are going to win, they are going to overcome, but they got to be faithful. Now let's move again. Because in order for us to teach this 13th chapter, we need to see this thing from the sky. So Daniel 7 and 1. In the first year, because then you're going to have a dream that's similar. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. What did we see in 13 and 1? And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a great beast rise up out of the sea. That's Revelation 13 and 1. Listen to Daniel 7 and 2. Daniel spake, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion, those wings. I beheld the wings were plucked, and it was lifted from the earth and made to stand on its feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And lo, another beast, a second like unto a bear, and it raised itself up on the side, and it had three ribs in its mouth, and between its teeth, and between the teeth of it, they said, thus to it, arise, devour. After this, I beheld another like a leopard, which had the back of it four wings of a fowl, and had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. If you think about it already, how many heads have you seen thus far then? You got a first one that comes up. That's got a head. second one come up, it's got a head. You got another one here, it's four heads coming up. Then verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions of fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceeding. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake into pieces and stamped the residue with his feet of it. And it was the verse of all of the other beasts, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, the horns and the eyes of a man speaking great things, speaking boastfully. And I beheld the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and hair was like pure wool, his throne like fiery flame, and his wheels of burning fire. The fiery stream came forth, ministered unto him, 10,000 times 10,000. If I go on, I will show you where the kingdom is given to that child that was caught into heaven. But I wanted you to see these four beasts that come out of the sea. These four beasts that come out of the sea are the same four beasts, or it's the same as the four pieces of metal that we saw in chapter 2. It represented the kingdoms of Babylon, Persia, with the Medes and the Persian, Greek, and Rome. If you roll just a little further, I'll show you something. In the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel, Daniel says in the 3rd verse, chapter 8, then I lift up my eyes and saw, behold, there stood before the river a ram with two horns. And two horns were high, and the one higher than the other, which came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver him out of his hand. He did according to his will and became great. And as I was considered, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the he-goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that has two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close to the ram, and he moved with choler against him and smote the ram and break his two horns. And there was no power left for the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped him. And there was none that could deliver him out, could deliver him the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and it became four notable ones, the four winds of heaven. And out of them came forth a little horn that waxed great, exceeding great, toward the south, the east, and the pleasant land, and it waxed great. It did cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped them. Yea, notice this, he magnified himself to the prince of the host. By him daily sacrifice was taken away. When we were going through the book of Daniel, and we were reading about these beasts, we were reading about the ram, we were reading about the horns, and we saw all of these things going on. The book of Daniel started telling us some of the stuff with this neck. And when it started talking about it, if you look, you'll find that the Bible would tell you that one of them represented Grisha. When I say Grisha, it's talking about Greece. When it starts talking about the Medes and the Persians, all of these things we find in the book of Daniel. And all that I'm wanting you to see right here when we read these things is that the book of Daniel is showing you that the kingdoms of the earth up until that particular time is what we are seeing in Revelation. If you want the exact verse, look at Daniel 8:21, because for some to help would have been with us when we went through the book of Daniel, this might be a little different. Let's just kind of start at 18 through 21, then we go back to Revelation. Now when he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, and he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make you to know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for the time the appointed end shall be. And he said, behold, I will make you to know what shall be in the end of the indignation, for a time appointed as the end shall be. The ram which you saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eye is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up, for it four kingdoms shall stand up out of that nation, but not in his power. And that's when we all were going through things in the Maccabees, and that's when I was showing you that the four generals of Alexander the Great, who was over Greece, took over. I think hopefully that's enough to bring us into what's going on here when we're dealing with the Revelation. If it's not, we can deal with it in the discussion, because now I'm able to move. In 13:1, we see that the dragon is going to make war with the remnant of the seed, and the dragon is going to be the world powers that had been enforced, the world powers that were dominating by the rule of their might. They have the horns, they have the crowns, and they speak blasphemy. They speak against the name of God. They elevate themselves to the position of God. And this is how the dragon is making war with the remnant of the seed. He is doing it by trying to take over the world, to take over the kingdom, to take over the authority which the children of God are supposed to have. And that has also been told in the book of Daniel. You all know that I've told you in Daniel 7:13, the kingdom is given to Christ. You all know in the 18th verse of Daniel chapter 7, listen to what it says. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Listen to what it says, though, about these beasts in the 19th verse. Then I would have you to know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces and snapped the residue at his feet, and of the 10 horns that were upon his head, and of the other which came up before the three fell. That horn had eyes and a mouth that spake great things, whose look was stout, more stout than his fellows. Listen to this 21st verse. It's quite amazing. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Do you see that? In the 13th verse, the kingdom is given to the Son of Man. In the 18th verse, the kingdom is given to the saints. In the 21st verse, we see that this beast that come up out of the sea, we see that this beast is prevailing against the saints. Verse 22, how long until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High? Then at that time came the saints to possess the kingdom. Then, and thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the kingdom, the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break into pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, that think to change times and laws, and shall be given into his hands to the times and the dividings of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy to the end. and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. In the book of the Revelation, we've already seen Jesus, King of Kings. We've already seen him as Lord of Lords. We've already seen his face shining like the sun. We've already seen his face like his feet like brass. We've already seen him called the first and the last. We've already seen him go through the churches, telling them what they get if they overcome. We've already seen him open the book. We've already seen him open the scroll. We have already seen all of the things that show his magnificence and his power and the power that he's going to give to his people. Then it goes backwards and show you how things start from the beginning with the woman and the seed. And then he brings it down to the time that Christ is taken up into heaven, and those that have gone up to heaven that cry out on the altar. But yet, in the midst of that, in the midst of things going on, in the midst of Satan not having authority and power, we still see, and God is the one that's revealing this, with all the power, everything that's invested, and the people having the power, that the dragon is making war with the remnant of her seed. Only those that keep the commandments of God is he really fighting against. Sometimes he fight against the wicked to kill them. Yes, that's true, but in the line of his war is with this, the one that keeps his commandments. For the first century people, they should see this. For us, we should see that God is letting these people know in the time of that fourth beast, which was Rome. And he said, I saw the beast come up out of the sea. It has the head. It has the horns. It has the name of blasphemy. The beast was like the leopard, and it goes through and it shows you that he had the parts of the Greek. He has the feet of the bear, the part of Persia. He's got the mouth of the lion, part of Babylon. He has the dragon, gives him his power, his great seat and authority. I saw one of his heads, if it was wounded, and the deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered at the beast. It looked like it was over for the beast, one of the heads, but it shows that the world wondered. But it wasn't completely over for the beast. But listen what it says. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave his power to the beast. Here is what I want you to see from above. That was one time God gave power to the nations to correct Israel. That was one time God gave power to Nebuchadnezzar, to the Medes, to the Persians, to the Romans to correct Israel, because God has told them through Moses, if you turn your back on me, I will disperse you. I will pluck you up out of the land. Now we see that the dragon has the ability to give his followers the ability to persecute and the fight against the saints of God. Somebody might say, well, I don't understand how Satan cannot have power and he can do these things. Understand this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 through 8 said, if the rulers and the princes of this world had known what was going on, they wouldn't have killed the Lord of glory. There's a certain amount of ability that Satan, we see, was given to do a particular job in the case of Job. And God was trying Job. Now, when the time comes for these people to go through and to overcome by the word of God and their testimony and love not their lives unto the death, look at what he is showing here. You all have a kingdom, but there's a war that's going to break out. It's a real war. And some of you will die. Some of you will be mistreated, but you're not losing. The appearance is that Satan has taken over. The appearance is that the beast has taken over. But what it boils down to is that the beast is empowering mankind to rule with a state legislative and a judicial branch to make fun of God's people, to change God's laws, to change God's ways. ways and to make you worship him. That's what was going on at that time. That's what was going on with Rome. That's what had happened with the Medes and the Persians when they did not want Daniel to pray. That's what was going on with Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow down to the statue and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. That's what happened during the time of Antiochus Epiphanes with the Greeks. That's what was going on at that time when they were wanting people to worship Caesar Nero, Caligula, Augustus, and all of the rest of them. And I would say that is what was going on, and the people of God needed to know that whatever the beast is that come out of the sea, he only has a little bit of power, but there's a kingdom that will never be removed, and he's making war with the remnant of his seed. But understand that that stone is going to crush, and it's going to fill the whole earth. And for those of us that are living today, you can have all this power, what we call in the White House. You got the, what you call your conservative. You got what you call your liberals. You got what you call your rhinos. You got what you call your Marxists. You got your socialists. I will submit to you that when you find something right on any one of those groups, understand this. If they're power based, if their presupposition is that man is the ruler of this world, and that man is the one to make the laws, and that man is the one that truly you look to for your salvation, your protection, I will submit you will be following a beast like these people would have. I will submit you, they want you to submit to their laws. Don't you say nothing about killing a baby in the womb. Don't you say nothing about homosexuality. Yet they can make fun of the Christian. They can make fun of the Bible. They can make fun of those that say we shouldn't be doing abortion. They have blasphemy all over. You can't say a man is a man or a woman is a woman. Whatever God's order is, we want to change it. And yet, we know in the first century, this was given to those people. He that read will get a blessing, and they that hear get a blessing. Just like 1 Corinthians is given to us to benefit what was written. Romans was given for us to benefit from what was written. Exodus, Leviticus was given for us to benefit. I would submit to you that when you see the kingdoms of the world do this, verse 4, and they worship the dragon, they worship the state, they worship the man's amalgamated power rule and the crush and break people with their laws and their military. They worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who was able to make war with him? And there was given to him a mouth speaking great blasphemies. And power was given to him to continue 42 months. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name. A name represented his authority and his tabernacle, the worship that's due him rightfully. And them that dwell in heaven, destroy or to speak as those beings that are in heaven with him, everything that he's from his control, and it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. All power was given to him over kindreds and tongues and nation. Notice, it was given. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name are not in the book of life of the Lamb from the foundation of the world. Do you understand what that is saying? What it's saying specifically is there's going to be a threshing. There's going to be a separation between the wheat and the chaff, the sheep and the goat, those that are not. If any man has, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Faith of the saints. We will cover this in greater detail. We're doing our overhead view now. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. One came out of the sea, one's coming up out of the earth. We'll deal with the earth or the land. I'm going to submit to you that I believe that that is going to be the apostate Israel. But we'll talk about that as we move further along, once we move from the overhead trajectory. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein and worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth a great wonder, so that he make fire come down from heaven. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of the miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast that had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the beast to be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their forehead. No or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. At him of the beast, of a man, not it shall be. The verb is present, active, and it's indicative, for it is the number of a man. The number is 666. I submit to you, from looking overhead, what is being described here is mankind's ruling and governing over other men by the means of satanic power with military and police state authority to tell people what is right and wrong, to tell people that they are higher than them. Heads in their hands. Why? Show that their presuppositions, the very thoughts that come from your head, the very action that you do align with me. But he speaks blasphemy. Those that will not worship prophets will yes, the first beast to state Israel when it turned apostate like Pharaoh, they call Israel to sin. You don't think he had a state-run government? Life in charge. They had their own prophets. They and those that would not obey. I remember one prophet. Let certain men fall on you. What do you think happened in the cave with Solomon when he turned to on God? He tried his best. Jeroboam, because Jeroboam was a threat to his ungodly tyranny. The state in so and Augustine versus the city of God is at war with us. That's what working. Does not have the ability to deceive the world like he wants to do. We're no longer bound by geographical area. The gold can be brought in and it doesn't come. We are. That's why the Bible can say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if enemy does not stop Satan from being able to. When did you stop being able to hear me? So the thing is, given to him. That he can war against us. He does not have the ability. insofar as that God like work ability gospel. I'm gonna stop here and just say that is very angry. He wants to war those that are the remnant. Of the remnant is to be faithful. Father, thank you for your blessed word, for your goodness and your grace and your power. I ask you to help us to realize that it's always the wicked one is trying to separate us from you and scare us into thinking that he can do something to cause us to worship him and we no longer be in the position of authority, possessing the kingdom as you want it done. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.